The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 268, entitled How to Tap into Higher States of Consciousness, Synchronize Your Energy, and Restore Peace Within Your Soul, I chat with Kristen Johnston. Kristen Johnston is a master healer, soul reader, and spiritual alchemist. And in today's episode, Kristen talks about her past struggles with addiction, finding her calling in life, and helping others heal through a number of modalities, including energy work. Kristen also covers plant medicine, meditation, tapping into higher states of consciousness, and understanding your soul's journey in life. In fact, she dives into a myriad of interesting and powerful concepts and teachings within this episode and shares how to find synchronicity and harmony in life. If you're wondering how to synchronize your energy and restore peace within your soul, check this episode out now. You are going to love it. If you would like to get more of our incredible world-class vitamins, minerals, herbs, and natural compounds, go to EliteLifeNutrition.com and order today. That's right, we recently updated the website, so you can order directly from the website as opposed to just having to go to Amazon. You can still go to Amazon if you want to, but you can get even better discounts, deals, and offers directly from EliteLifeNutrition.com. If you order, say, two of the same item, you get 5% off. If you order four of the same item, you get 10% off. If you order, say, 12 or more of the same item, you get 15% off, and that is across the board on all our supplements. And we also have incredible bundle deals where we've stacked a few of our products together so you can get the essential products that you need to be at your very best and save even more money by getting it through a bundle. And if you order, say, $75 or more, you do get free shipping on all orders. So that is another way to save money and get even more of our incredible products. So make sure you go right now to EliteLifeNutrition.com. I'm telling you, you're going to love the new look of the website. You're going to love how it looks. You're going to love how it runs. And most importantly, you're going to love all the money you save by ordering directly through the website so you can get all the products you love and feel at your very best. EliteLifeNutrition.com. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from Elite Man Magazine. And my guest today is my friend Kristen Johnston from QuantumHW.com. Kristen, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I've been actually, here's a funny story that just about everybody on the planet doesn't know about. I've known you for probably close to a decade or maybe eight or nine years, because way back when, before all the stuff that I'm doing today and before all the stuff you're doing, Kristen, today, we both worked at a tiny little store called Vitamin World. And I ended up being there for close to a year because I didn't mind it as much, but you worked for probably 2 weeks. And I met you, and you had, I think you had like pink hair at the time too. And you came in, and it was just like such a cool person, so different than everybody else that I ever met. Kind of blown away by like your energy and all this other stuff. And you started talking to me about the crazy stuff that I was just blown away by and fascinated by. And unfortunately, I only worked with you a few times, and then you left because you hated the store. You hated working there. But over the years, we have kept in touch, and I've worked with you with the stuff that you're doing now. And I've been even more impressed as the time has gone by. So Kristen, thanks so much for coming on the show. I'm really excited to pick your brain and talk about the energy work you do, the healing you do. You're an incredible person. Let's start with this. What was it exactly about that shop and the 2 weeks that you worked there that you didn't like? And what made you transition into what you're doing today?
Oh, that's such a good question. I had been studying. I'd been studying the soul for such a long time and what that meant to live fully and completely from that place within. And here I am at this, you know, Vitamin World full of supplements, and I'm spending my days, you know, dusting shelves and restocking vitamin bottles. And just, it was incongruent with what I knew I was supposed to be doing, you know, and there was just this this dissonance within my energy field, and I just knew I couldn't stay. And that's been one thing that has actually guided me through my life, is I've always listened to that thing that beats in the center of my chest. And when it's, when it tells me something's not right, it's not right. And I just followed it. So Vitamin World was not right for my heart.
Yeah. I was actually there too a couple months back, just in the area, and I stopped by and it's actually gone. I think they sold a lot of those away, or someone bought them up and just they're doing something else with it. Yeah. So you transitioned into what you're doing today, and you were already like, I think when you started that too, if I remember correctly, you were just starting off on like the path that you are right now, or you just started it and you're doing like that work now. You ended up buying your own place, your own shop, store. I've been to it a few times. It's incredible. It's like so unique, by the way, like the only place around here that has that kind of stuff. But what was it that you were studying at the time? What kind of energy work and what school was that that you were attending, or that you had just attended?
Yeah. So when we met, I was in my second year of the Rhys Thomas Institute of Energy Medicine. And okay. I'm actually a teacher there now.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. It's like such an amazing, and, there's a whole bunch of things we study, but mastery is really the name of the game, sort of self-mastery. And, you know, through the energy centers, really understanding the energy body and sort of the soul and sort of like these deep philosophical concepts.
Yeah. So it was almost like, I think you might even have said this, or I brought it up as like kind of a joke, but it was basically like when Harry Potter finds out that he's a wizard and then he goes to Hogwarts and all that. Like you had made that analogy, I think, right? And you were like, it just hit you one day that you had like this extra calling and then you dove into the school. Is that how it went?
Yeah, kind of. You know, growing up, I loved magic. I loved the idea of magic. I loved the idea of psychic and sort of sorcery and all this stuff. But I never knew anybody in my life who actually believed in this stuff. And it wasn't until I was really struggling, like I went through some really dark times, and I just started linking up with some people who had this wisdom, you know. And one of my friend's moms was a practicing pagan, and she was a Reiki master, and she introduced me to Reiki. And so I remember the first time I heard about Reiki and energy work, it was like that thing that, you know, that my heart just knew, my soul was like, what is that? I got to learn that stuff. And so I got attuned. And right after I got attuned to Reiki, I read the book, The Secret. And it was like, this was the initiation of the remembering process. Like I started to remember aspects of my soul after learning about energy medicine. And when I read the book, The Secret, I started to make the connection that, oh, I was creating my reality, that I was in control of some of this. And that like really led me on this wild journey. And it was really synchronistic. Like I didn't go out looking for the school. It was really divinely guided. I found this school and I met all these people in the school, and it really was. It was like I had gotten my owl letter. And I had found sort of like my Hogwarts, and I found my people, and that being introduced to a community of people who studied the same things that I was interested in changed my entire life. Just to know that there were other people out here who were reading the same books I was reading and they were interested in the same stuff, it was a game changer for me.
Yeah. So I want to dive into the shop and the stuff that you're doing right now in a moment, but you mentioned before too, that there was like an addiction that you got over and that you actually like, it was a really bad addiction for a few years. Was this a few years before this time, or was it right alongside this time? Like how did that map up with this?
Yeah, it was simultaneous. I had actually probably been an addict for a lot longer than I had realized. You know, I was sort of like a party girl in high school and just did what everybody else around me did. But I got introduced to opiates at a young age. And that's when I kind of got myself into some stuff I couldn't get out of. And that's when I started seeking, you know, like that's when I was soul searching and started really like praying for divine intervention. And that's what sort of led me down this healing path. And then I was in the school and I was in my second year of the school, and I was meeting all these people and I was learning all these concepts, and I was actually starting to love the person that I had become. And that wasn't in alignment with the way I was living, right? So I couldn't love myself and also be a drug addict. They were totally incongruent energies. So I had to, in order to sort of level up and come into harmony and balance within myself, I had to change. And so I had tried from the moment I realized that I was an addict, I went down sort of all the conventional routes to heal, and they just didn't work for me. It doesn't mean that they didn't work. They just didn't work for me, because like for some reason, I just always have to go on my own path. And I actually found a plant medicine. I was watching, it was a documentary called Facing the Habit on Netflix one day. And this Wall Street banker went and did this plant medicine called Ibogaine to heal from an opiate addiction. And that thing in my heart was like, that's it. That's your medicine. You know, look up Ibogaine. And once I started researching it, I knew that I had to go and do that. And so it was a plant medicine that actually freed me from an opiate addiction. And so I'm really, really passionate about that.
Yeah. So what I've heard of different plant medicines before, you know, ayahuasca and those ones and some of the other, even like microdosing with like LSD and stuff like that. But I've never heard of this Ibogaine thing. How does that work? And what did it do for you?
So iboga, it's different. It's different from ayahuasca. Ayahuasca is considered to be the like grandmother medicine, and ibogaine is the grandfather. And so ibogaine is it's a African shrub. It's the root bark of an African shrub, and they don't know a whole ton about it. There's not enough research done on it, but it resets your brain to a pre-addicted state. So it affects your receptor sites in your brain, and it also rapidly detoxifies the body. So, you know, I had to get, a liver scan and make sure my heart was healthy, because it can be really taxing on the body, and it's not something you would ever do alone. But it's a really, really, really powerful addiction interrupter. It's not the cure. You know, what healed me was everything else I had used in conjunction with the plant, right? So like the energy medicine, the books, the information, the knowledge is what healed me. But the plant is what gave me it's what interrupted the addiction for long enough so I could apply all the knowledge that I had learned.
That's a great way to put it, yeah. So I think ayahuasca actually works in a similar way too. I had Tucker Max on the show a few weeks ago, and he was talking about how he did he still does them too, plant medicines, but he did a bunch of different ones, and it's almost like it resets your brain and all the patterns. You kind of just like said something very similar to that, but it's almost like a reset, like it deprograms all the things that have been programmed. So you have a clean slate. And he said something similar too, where it's like, if you go back to doing all the stuff you were doing, like he was talking about fighting with his wife and like having these stupid arguments all the time, if you go back and keep doing those things, those programs will just pop back up. But this gives you like a window of time to like do the things the right way afterwards. And then, you know, you can change things like in that sense.
Exactly. Totally right. And Ibogaine also, it's considered a hallucinogen, but it's really like a memorigen. It brings up stored traumatic memories from the past, things that we might not have been able to process at the time that they were happening. So it really gives you this window of opportunity to look at what might be stored within your subconscious, so the sort of energy blocks that have become hardwired in your brain and in your body. And it gives you this kind of cleansing opportunity to heal from it. And so I look at it like it's very shamanic, right? So they'll use it ceremoniously and sort of shamanic initiations. They'll use iboga because the shaman knows that in order to heal a person, that person needs to be reconnected with the essence of their soul, right? So your soul, it can easily become fragmented throughout life, especially life on planet Earth, where we have these painful experiences and we don't have a lot of healers the way that tribally and culturally we used to have. So the plant is essentially shamanic in nature. It heals the soul. It kind of pulls back all those pieces and places in our life where we lost ourselves, where we disconnected from the essence of who we really are. So it's very, very powerful, powerful medicine.
So when you did this, did you go to like a special place to do it? Did you have a shaman help you through it? And what was that experience like? Are you like hallucinating a lot? Is it scary at all? Or is it just like completely incredible and like refreshing and game changing?
Yeah, well, it's different. It's different for everybody who experiences it. You know, I've had some friends who've gone and done it, and we've all had very different experiences. I went to a woman in the U.S., and it was sort of an underground provider. And she had, you know, she checked my vitals and made sure that my physical body was not in any immediate danger. But, and so she held a space for me, but she didn't lead me on the journey at all. My soul kind of did that. And yeah, it was quite an experience. I saw past lives that I had lived. I saw the main reason for my addiction, and I also saw potentials for my future. So I saw a book that I was here to write. I kind of got to review some soul contracts that I had, which was really cool and really powerful. And it actually like set the course of my life forever.
That's incredible. Yeah, you mentioned that too, the book. Do you mind sharing the title? You're working on it right now. You're almost done with it. Do you mind sharing the working title?
Yeah. I can tell you exactly how it came to be. It was really profound. I was having this vision, and it was the only time in my entire journey that I actually had to sit up and say, like, this is what I'm seeing. And so it was this blank book cover. It was a yellow cover, and it had these black letters, and the black letters started to form on the cover of the book, and it spelled out HTP. And at the time, I was in my second year of HTP healer training program. But the book didn't spell out HTP. The book spelled out heal the people. And then all these people crowded around the book and started chanting, heal the people so loud until I actually had to sit up and tell this woman, like, I just saw the first book that I'm going to write. And it, you know, it's taken me 8.5 years to figure out what that actually means. Like, what does it mean to heal the people? And with all the craziness that's going on in the world right now, I think people are actually going to be ready to hear for themselves what it means to heal. So it's pretty, I'm really excited about it. Hopefully by the end of quarantine, I'll be done.
Yeah, let me know when it's published too, because I'll get you back on. We can talk all about it for sure. That's just such an incredible story. So do you still do plant medicines like that? I asked the same thing to the guy I had on as well, Tucker, if he still does it. And he actually still uses it in smaller dosages. Like, he's not doing these crazy trips all the time, but he does take them in smaller amounts. Are you still doing that?
Yeah, I have, you know, but I've gotten to the point where I don't feel like I need the medicine. I feel like medicine is kind of one of those things where it's like, it's there when you need it. And so I have microdosed with Iboga, but I don't really use it a ton. I'm not against it. It's like one of those things where it's as necessary. So if in my life there comes a point where I feel like I need assistance from the plant, then I'll call on the plant spirit. But for right now, I know that as long as I'm living in alignment with my soul, that's the medicine that I need. It's only when if I feel like I've become out of balance, you know, but then I also have a lot of tools, natural tools, yoga, breath work, lots of other things that we can do too.
Yeah. And I did one of those breath work classes before that you had, which was incredible. It's actually one of my favorite, might even be my number one favorite breathing experience. And I told you, I think in the past that I've been a big fan of Wim Hof's. I've done his breathing techniques and stuff, and I love his, but yours was even cooler. Can you explain, what is that called, by the way? Cause I've explained it to a few other people and I never knew the name of it, but I was just like telling them like how to do it kind of. What is the name of that? And can you talk about like how it goes and like, you know, how we did it?
Yeah. So that's called holotropic breathwork.
Holotropic.
Yeah, holotropic breathwork. And my really good friend, Heather Holloway, is the facilitator. And I can link you up with her because she does private workshops and, you know, private sessions. And she's really, really kind of getting out there and doing it in the world right now, which is awesome.
Nice. So is it named after her?
Holotropic breathwork. It's been around for a while. And Okay. Yeah, it's super powerful. I can't remember the name of the man who used it, but this was when people were doing all sorts of like psychedelic medicines for exploring the psyche. And then that got shut down and heavily regulated. And so holotropic breathwork was kind of like the next best thing that they were using to get people into these altered states of consciousness where you're bypassing the analytical mind. And there's so many benefits to it too. You know, you're alkalizing the blood, you're oxygenating the body. There's so many health benefits to it. But you can also really get into your subconscious mind and see what's stored in there.
Yeah. So can you talk about, if you remember that day, there was probably like a dozen of us or so. And can you talk about like how that breathing actually looks if someone wanted to try that, or if they were just kind of interested in learning like what we're talking about here? Because at the end of that, I just felt incredible. It felt like what I do after four rounds of Wim Hof breathing, but even better than that, it was like a cooler feeling. And like you said, it taps into, are you tapping into like your third eye, that kind of thing? And like, you know, getting past some of this other stuff, because it immediately puts you into like a meditative state, which I think was really cool. But I felt like I was like tapping into something really unexplainable, but very interesting too.
I think a part of that too is the group, right? Like, so when you're doing group breath work, you're creating this field, sort of like this vortex of energy. So the people that you're breathing with is going to have an impact on it just as much as the breathing that you're doing. I don't know a whole ton of information about the specific breath. I can get Heather to come and do an interview with you if you want.
Yeah, I would love it.
Yeah. So I really don't like to talk about things if I don't know a ton about them. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of those things where I dabble in it, but I don't know enough about it to speak confidently on the topic. So I'll link you okay. up with her and she can.
All right, cool. So just to say, the breath was incredible, but it's basically like you're breathing. I think we breathed for like 30 minutes or so. And then like the rest was just like meditating for like 30 minutes after that. That's all I can really remember, but there's a lot more specifics that go into it. And then She was also like walking around kind of fixing people and just like subtly telling them how to like breathe better and more proper. And it was really, it was cool.
It's an active breath. That's one thing I do know is sort of it's an active repetitive breathing pattern that you do for 45 minutes. And then for 15 minutes, you do an integration phase where you kind of really just allow the experience to sink into your body. And so I do know that it activates the parasympathetic nervous system, which is sort of like your rest and digest. So human beings are meant to, we're really meant to live in a relaxed state. We're not meant to live in chronic fear or chronic stress or chronic fight or flight. That's what knocks our body out of balance. It knocks us out of homeostasis. So breathing is really one of those amazing techniques that can, it reminds the body that there's no immediate threat in our environment, you know, and it heals us because when we're in that rest and digest place, the body it's repairing itself. When we're in chronic stress, all of our energy is in our extremities because it's signaling that it's time to like run away or fight somebody. So all of our energy that we need for digestion, for assimilation, for nutrient absorption, none of that is in our vital organs if we're stressed out, which 98% of the world is chronically stressed out. But the thing is, there's nothing immediately, you know, threatening our physical body. Most of our stress is coming from our thinking. So when we do breathing and we do yoga and we do certain exercises, we're signaling to the body that, you know, we can de-stress a little bit. And that's why meditation and yoga and breath work, it's so helpful on so many more levels than just being good for your physical body. It's really like good for your mental and spiritual wellness too.
If you want to get more content, more information, and extra bonuses I don't post anywhere else, make sure you follow me on Instagram right now. It's at Justin Stenstrom. That's JustinStenstrom. I'm posting pretty much every day throughout the week, most days out of the week for sure, but almost every day. And it's all kinds of information regarding health, wealth, business, life, dating, relationships, confidence, and so much more. I'm telling you, you're going to love seeing some of the stories I post about and the feed posts I post all the time. It's pretty interesting. It's pretty fun. I'm loving Instagram right now. So make sure you follow me, Instagram.com/Justin Stenstrom, or just jump on your phone right now, pull up the Instagram app, and it's at Justin Stenstrom.
And you also put me on to meditating and like Joe Dispenza and all that stuff. I've mentioned his name probably on this podcast a dozen times since you introduced me to him, because I've been such a fan of his, that, you know, Becoming Supernatural and all the meditations he has. I do them all the time, almost every day, actually. And there's something incredible there too, as well, with that. We're talking about the same type of thing. You're tapping into like this different place and all kinds of healing can take place in this like different realm almost of consciousness, right? Like not just like what you're seeing right now and being conscious, but this subconscious type of place where you tap into this place. And you know, you can't do that in any other way, but there's different ways to get into this. And you know, plant medicine is definitely one of those ways as well. But I think meditation just in itself is a great way to do that.
Yeah, meditation is the medication. You know? I know that's so cliche, but it's true. When you're meditating, especially for long periods of time, coupled with breath work, you're getting beyond yourself, right? Like you're getting beyond the part of you that is bound to the world of matter, bound to a body, bound to emotions and desires. And you're really, you're getting beyond that and you're liberating your energy. Like Dispenza says, like you're pulling the mind out of the body and you're really merging with this quantum field. And that's why I called my place quantum health and wellness, was because when you do this work enough and you become more energy than matter, you influence the material world around you, not with your body, but with your energy. And that is so, I think that is the greatest power on our planet. And we just don't know about it. We think that the body is power or that money is power. Those things aren't power. Those things are a fraction of what we can do if we could harness our life force energy, our prana, and use that, you know, to not just our benefit, but for the benefit of everybody around us and for the benefit of the world.
So I want to talk about your beliefs and all this stuff that you believe in, because I believe most of it anyways. And I think like you're so much higher on this realm of, say, understanding these different types of things. You've done a lot more than I've done, but I believe everything that you've said so far, and you've, you know, all the conversations, I believe all the things that you're saying. I want to tap into some of the things that you're talking about in a moment, but just first on the energy side of things, because I actually went in, the first time I ever went into your place, we did some type of energy work there. And what was that about, and why is energy so important?
So we did something called full spectrum healing, which is what I learned at the energy medicine school. And it's beneficial because, especially when we live in fear and worry and anxiety, and we have traumas from the past and we have all this stuff, we accumulate all this stuff in our bodies and in our energy body, and it gets stuck, right? Like in an ideal world, we would all be living in the present moment. Life would be passing through us. We would have emotions. We would express them as they arise. But that's not how things on planet Earth go. We deny how we feel. We stuff things down. We repress our emotions. We have all this trauma. And as a result, our energy system gets jammed up. So like our vehicle of consciousness in our body starts to not function optimally. So when you do energy work, or if you come to see a healer, I'm always advocating, like really know the healer that you're going to see, because there's a lot of people out there who are doing energy work and it's amazing. It's great. But you really want to get a healer who has healed themselves and who can hold these high frequencies of energy and does the work in their own life every day to balance their own energy. And so what happens is humans are incredibly powerful when we're in alignment. We can lay hands on another body, which is just energy, right? The building blocks of matter, it's energy. So if my energy is super tuned and super aligned and really clean and clear, and I lay my hands on you for a long enough time, your energy will harmonize with my energy, and my energy will harmonize with your energy, and together it can help to move block in your system. And it can be really helpful to get things flowing where they might have been stuck.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I think maybe Dispenza, one of the other guys, Lipton or somebody, mentions it in one of his books. Like, there's something with like synchronization, and there's an old like study or something where they had like hundreds of watches or clocks or something, and like over the course of a certain amount of time, all the clocks start ticking at the same time. They all synchronize, harmonize to the same frequency for whatever reason. It's just like science can't explain why that happens, but there's a thing going on, and it's like the energy synchronization. That's a real thing.
Yeah. Harmonic resonance. It's super cool. HeartMath does stuff like that, where they measure the heart and how the heart sends out this frequency. And if someone has been trained in what they call heart coherence, right, if they can get the brain and the body in a coherent state, and they can train that person, they can put that person at a table with other people whose hearts are not coherent. And if that person maintains a state of coherence within their heart, all the people around them will sync up energetically. Wow. And they'll broadcast the same heart frequency, which is, that's the way we're going to heal.
Yeah. That's incredible. Yeah.
It's science. That's the best thing about these guys like Lipton and Dispenza and Braden, is like, they're using the language of science, which is non-divisive, right? Yeah. You start throwing religion and opinion and ideas out there, and you get a lot of division amongst people. But if you can explain it through science, the logical part of our brain is like, oh, I can get on board with that. So these guys are changing the world.
Yeah. It's all the non-believers, the skeptics out there who, like, you know, they need the science, they need the data to believe the other side of it, like the mystical, like he talks about, it's the mystical stuff that prior to the last like 20 years, no one could explain. But now with like new technology and studies and stuff coming out, they can actually explain why the stuff is working. And I still think there's a long way to go, but they're already there. They're already explaining a lot of the stuff, which is just opening the eyes of so many people.
Totally. Yeah. That was my experience too, is, I was led into this world by the spiritual, but when this stuff really started happening in my life, right? Like when the law of attraction started happening, and I can tell you a funny story about the law of attraction. So I read the book, The Secret, and you know, the secret tells you about manifesting money. And at the time that was kind of my thing. And so I wrote myself out a check from the universe for $2,000. I thought that was a reasonable amount of money to manifest. And every night I would imagine, what would I do with $2,000? And then, you know, I did this for a couple of weeks and then I forgot all about it because I didn't get the check and I just thought, this is stupid. But a couple of weeks later, I got a check in the mail for $2,200 because a company that I had worked for got audited and they had to back pay all of their former employees for time and a half.
Wow.
Not only that, but 2 weeks after that, I got another check in the mail for $2,200 because a friend was borrowing my car and someone backed into my headlight and it got appraised at $2,200.
Wow.
So that was the first thing. And then I end up meeting all these people at this energy medicine school, and this crazy stuff starts happening in my life as soon as I start applying this law of attraction, paying attention to my inner state. And that's when I'm like, okay, there is something to this stuff, but I have that kind of mind that wants to know why. I was that kid who was always like, why? Like, why does it have to be that way? And I probably pissed my parents off so much, but I want to know things. And science helps us understand, you know, it gives us a language to understand the mystical, even though we're never really going to understand the mystery. That's the, you know, the path of the mystic, the life path of the mystic, is to just live into the mystery and to trust it. And that's what religion used to be about. Religion used to be about the faith in the mystery. And somewhere along the lines, you know, it got really dogmatic and became about, you know, facts and stuff. But it's really, it's all about like the great mystery that is life.
It's incredible too. And that's the thing that I think I've always had in me too. It seems like you've had that, just a curiosity for life and understanding as much as possible to it. Like every little thing that, you know, since I was little, I'd read all these books of UFOs and, you know, Bigfoot and Loch Ness Monster and vampire and just like witches and wizards and crazy. So like, it was always just like, what is, like, there's more to it. I want to learn as much as possible. Even though a lot of this stuff is bullshit, it's probably not real, I still want to explore it. I still want to like see it, you know. And then this stuff comes along the last like few years. It's like, I used to think that this was all crazy and The Secret was all just shit and it wasn't true. And, you know, the law of attraction wasn't true. And, but the more I looked into it, the more I started researching it, the more it's actually like this, there is something to this. It's actually, it really is true. Maybe not in the way that you know, they explained it or that I interpreted it, but it is true. There's definitely something here. There's definitely something to all the stuff that we're talking about, this mystic side, this energy. And that's, I think that's the real truth. And that's really the main mystery, and the kind of everything else draws off of that stuff. So that's all kind of what we're searching for, is that missing piece to life. But this is what it is, and we're just kind of like trying to figure our way out and how to understand it in the best way we can.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the greatest minds of our time, Einstein told us that the field is the sole governing agency of the particle. The body is the particle. The field is energy, right? Tesla, he said, if you want to understand the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. We have to understand that we are energy, and what we broadcast is what we create, and what we think and what we feel is what we broadcast, and then that's how we act. And so there's, you know, there's these simple, kind of like simple laws to life, and if we can just abide by them, we can harmonize with the natural world. And that's why we're seeing all this chaos around us, is because we're out of harmony with nature. We've become too materialistic as a result of being chronically stressed out, and we've become less energetic because we're not spending enough time connecting with our energetic nature. And so right now we're kind of being called not to favor one or the other, but to come into balance with both. And what does that mean? That means to come into the heart, to come into the center of our being, to come to, that's like the Christ consciousness within ourselves that says we're both, like, yeah, we're bodies, and we, you know, and we have a right to pleasure, and we have, you know, we have to know how to take care of ourselves as bodies, but we're also intuitive. We're also very psychic creatures. We're also very spiritual. And so we have to learn to honor both of those. You know, we have to honor the masculine and the feminine. We have to honor the totality. And when we do that, we will see the emergence of a new earth, I think. I hope.
Yeah. And it's definitely, like, right now is, you know, a very interesting time in history. And I think we're going to look back on it as, like, perhaps a big turning point in a lot of people's lives and just the way our culture is and society is in general. I think, you know, it's hard times for sure, but it also can be a opportunity for growth for a lot of people in a lot of ways. What is the, you mentioned this a couple of times already. I want to make sure I don't go past this, but what is your perspective on souls and, you know, our past lives and what we're really here to do right now? Like, everyone thinks, most people think, I should say, that what we see in front of us right now is it. We have about 80 years or so of living, and then, you know, that's it. Maybe we go to heaven. Some people believe that. Maybe that's the end of it. And once you get buried in the ground, that's it. You know, there's different belief systems surrounding that. But what is your belief system as far as the soul and our journey right now and our journey in the past and, you know, what it's going to be after this?
Well, I think that all time is an illusion, and that I think that now is ever present, right? There's this eternal now. And so I think that past lives may actually be happening simultaneously to us, kind of like they're happening now, just in a different sort of dimension of consciousness. And this is, it kind of bends the brain a little bit, is because it defies the way the brain processes reality. So the soul and the brain are very different. The brain is like a supercomputer, and it sort of organizes our consciousness, I guess. Like, the brain is the mind in action. But the soul doesn't operate on those parameters. The soul is very different. And so I think that, you know, I do believe that the soul is eternal, and that when we shed this, you know, physical vessel, that the soul will just continue on to the next experience, and will kind of traverse these higher dimensions of consciousness. I also think that there are, like, cycles of evolution, right? Like, I think that the soul goes through, like, evolutionary upgrades. Like, we come into certain densities or certain dimensions of consciousness in order to evolve and to grow. And so that's what this is all about. That's what planet Earth is all about. It's an opportunity for our souls to grow and to evolve. And that's what happens with each lesson that we learn, right? Like, if you touch a hot stove, you're probably not going to go do that again. So the soul, it's like, oh, learn that lesson. I probably won't do that again. And that's kind of how humans learn, is like, we learn because we fuck things up. Okay.
we encourage it.
Because shit goes wrong, right? Like in life, you don't learn when things are growing right. You learn when you screw up. I learned the most out of my life from screwing things up. And so I think that that's what's happening on planet Earth right now. There's like, yo, there's an epic screw up happening. Like we're way out of balance with nature. And Mother Earth has intelligence. Nature is intelligent, and she's going to let us know as her children that we are screwing up, and she's not going to be friendly about it. And that's why we're seeing some crazy stuff happen, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So, I mean, at the time of this recording, when people listen to this, probably a few months from now, hopefully it's over by then. But right now we're in the midst of, you know, a pandemic, a pretty serious one at that. And here's my opinion. I made a couple shows on this in the past. I don't think it's as big of a deal as the media portrays it to be as far as like deadliness and all that stuff. It's obviously a big deal for sure. But I'm more afraid of the economical aspects to it and the damage that that's going to do. If everything shuts down business-wise and all that stuff, and you know, there's a lot of small businesses that are suffering already, and there's a lot of businesses right now that probably aren't going to be able to open back up in a month or so because they've just lost a ton of money already. And if that continues for months, that could be, they're saying it could already be worse than the depression of the 30s, the Great Depression. That's how bad that things could get. And when times are that bad, there's a lot of people suffer. A lot of people can die actually from things like that, homelessness and all that stuff, for sure. When people listen to my show, they listen to the topics I talk about. I'm all about healing yourself and healing your immune system and boosting, you know, making it as strong as possible. You can fight off things naturally. You know, you don't need to wait for a vaccine to save your life. You can save your life yourself. That's the way I look at it anyways. And I think it's true. However, it is a time, and I mentioned to you this before, I think it's a time for growth for a lot of people and the way we look at things, and even just looking at the health aspect of things before this pandemic took over, the coronavirus and all this stuff, people, I think, were neglecting themselves and not taking care of themselves or not appreciating the things that we have. So after this, well, even right now, but afterwards too, they're going to start taking care of themselves more. They're going to start, you know, eating better foods and eating foods that heal you, plants, vegetables, herbs that heal the body, that the body naturally wants. And they're going to take care of themselves. They're going to exercise more. They're going to appreciate things and be more grateful. So their mental health is better. All these things I think are going to help actually lead to a better experience as a human being, a more enlightened human being for so many people. So many people, of course, are going to forget all this stuff in a few months and they'll go back to doing what they're doing. But I think many more people are going to be enlightened by this whole experience and become better off because of it. I'm not saying it's a good thing, and you know, it's a very sad thing that people have to die and all that stuff for sure. But at the same time, I think in a way there's a blessing in disguise here, and I think that's what it is.
Yeah, we live in, you know, we live in polarity. So we don't understand light unless we have shadow. We don't know good without bad. It's just part of the nature of the planet that we live on. And you're right, this is going to wake some people up and it's going to cripple some people. And that's when it's like, this is it could be a crisis of faith for a lot of people. And crisis often precedes transformation, you know? So chaos precedes order. Sometimes things need to break down before they can be rebuilt. It's just it's nature, it's the cycle that we live in, you know. And if you look at viruses and bacteria and fungus and parasites and all of these things that are very much a part of nature, what do? They come in and they break things down. And they return it. They return it to the earth so it can be utilized. So its creative life force energy can be recycled into something. And there's a lot of people on the planet who are not, like their life force energy is diminished, right? Because they're living in fear, they're living in stress, they're not honoring their bodies, they're not taking care of themselves, they're not making a creative contribution to the betterment of the collective. And that is going to create more imbalance in our world. And our world is changing around us. And, you know, a lot of people like to treat Mother Earth like she's not living, like she's not alive, like she's not conscious. How arrogant are we to think that we are conscious and alive, but she's not, right? And so there's a lot of people on the planet today who are doing their best to come into balance and come into harmony. And that's because Mother Earth is trying to come into balance and come into harmony. And it's all this, it's part of the great cycle that we're in. And in my opinion, it's epic. And yeah, a lot of people are probably going to have things taken from them, but we have to trust that if something is taken from us, it means we don't need it. Mother Earth gives us what we need. We just have to remember who we are as children of the planet. And we have to remember how to eat real food, how to, you know, things have to change. And so they say that the species that survives is not the strongest or the most intelligent, but it's the one that's most, you know, adaptable, the one that does best with change.
So when you speak of Mother Earth and having a consciousness, is it the same consciousness in the universe? Is this all one consciousness that is out there and we all feed off of this? Or is it like separate consciousnesses that are out there and, you know, we're all getting it from different sources?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And I can't even pretend. I wish I knew the answer to it. Those are some of the things that I ponder in my downtime. Like, what is this, you know? But I do think that consciousness is the fabric of our reality. And I think that there are probably different layers to it, right? Like plants and animals have consciousness, and it's probably different than ours, but maybe it's the same. It's just expressed through a different vehicle. So like human consciousness is going to be different than a dog's consciousness. But what if the animating principle of that consciousness is the same, just the vehicle's different? Like, what if it's all God? Yeah. Or, you know, whatever we want to call it, energy. What if it's just all consciousness and we're all just different, like, expressions of it? If I had to, like, decide in this moment what I believe to be true, I would say that it's probably somewhere in alignment with that.
Yeah. From the things I've read and stuff, and, you know, I kind of think it's that too as well. Like, it's, there's one source of it somewhere, whether you call it God or you call it energy or you call it whatever else. It's like, that's the thing. And we all kind of just like, we're vehicles of it. We have different expressions of it, like dogs and people and plants and trees and whatever else. Like, we're all just expressing it in our own little ways.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that like that resonates with my belief system. It's like a way for the universe to experience itself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then there's another belief too, like right off of that, which is basically like we have these lives and we have like a human body is like an avatar, and that's, we have like 80 years of life on whatever, you know, planet Earth. And this is our way of experiencing different things. Like, we're energy at our source, at our core, we're energy, but we're also put into these bodies to experience life, to be able to like smell things and to taste things and know what like ice cream tastes like. I think Lipton talks about that. He mentioned that in the episode. You know, we wouldn't know what these little intricacies or idiosyncrasies of life would be without this avatar called the human body. We would just be consciousness, which is great, but we also want to go in and like have fun for different periods of time. And that's kind of how he explained it.
Yeah, totally. That's why we have a lower self.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's why we have the body. It's like, those things are fun. You know? It's fun. We're allowed to have it. And so we have all this, like, all this dogma around what it is to be human. And we have all this shame, like all this fear and this guilt and this shame, but that's not the intention. Like, that's not the purpose of why we're here. We're here to play. And this is our playground. Earth is our playground. You know, it's like the playground for humanity, and we have dishonored it, you know? And,
broken all the rules and
yeah. Exactly. And now we're going to get a timeout.
Exactly. Yeah. Sit out there for 3 months. So how do you think we get back in balance and get more in touch with the way things are supposed to be, like the way we're supposed to actually be, like having this respect for Mother Nature, but also having fun at the same time, and then appreciating our bodies and having respect for our bodies and that. How do we get back into balance and start doing some of the right things? You mentioned food a couple of times. Is that a big part of it? Is there a couple other things?
That's only the small fraction of it. Yeah. that's what my whole book is about, how to restore harmony to the individual in order to restore harmony to the collective and to the planet. And there's, it's multifaceted and there is a lot to it. But I would say that it begins with understanding the primary levels of consciousness that humans use to navigate their reality. So we have to honor each of them, and each one deserves our attention and our, you know, to bring each energy center into balance. So we have, you know, we have our body, we have our emotions, we have our power, we have our center of compassion, we have our heart, we have our tools of communication, so our voice, we have our intuition, and we have our connection to spirit. And so those are our seven primary chakra centers. And all of these wheels, you know, these consciousness levels of consciousness need to be harmonized and need to be activated, and our energy needs to be flowing through them. And that's literally the whole, you'll have to read my book.
I can't wait. But at the end of the day, so the biggest thing here is getting your energy in balance and boosting it up. There's a number of ways to do it. Obviously, you mentioned a bunch of those in the book, and food is a small part of that.
Oh, it's a big part of it, especially.
It's a good piece of it.
Yeah, it's, well, if it's like we're in a physical body, and the body needs food as fuel. It's like if you had a Ferrari, you're not going to put cheap gasoline in it. Your body is your Ferrari. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to honor it. And that means you have to give it the highest quality food you can source for your body. Your body needs clean drinking water. It needs organic food. And there's so much that people need to understand about the way that the soil works and the way that the microbiology of the gut and the soil and the earth and sort of our bacterial family, because that's what it is. Viruses, bacteria, fungus, parasites, microbes, they're all just as much a part of nature's balance as we are. And so humanity needs to know its role. We've stepped out of line and we're disrupting the whole system. And our system has an intelligence within it. It's a self-correcting, recalibration kind of system. And so nutrition is a big part of it. But it's knowing your human ecosystem and how to eat that supports not just your desires for sensate satisfaction, but that supports all of life within you and around you, and sort of to eat in harmony. It's not just about eating healthy and being fit, even though those things are, being fit is a natural byproduct of eating healthy. And we don't have to be constantly in the gym pumping weights and working out. We just have to be in alignment, and our guts have to be doing their jobs. You know, everything in nature works perfectly. Everything is designed brilliantly and intelligently and perfectly. And so we have to understand that and learn about it.
You're 100% true, and that applies to us as well. We're designed 100% perfectly. The only problem is we get in our own way, and we put a lot of crap in our body, and we don't take care of ourselves, and we treat our Ferrari like it's a, you know, broken down Ford from the 90s. And
yeah,
and then
it's a broken down Ford.
Yeah, then you got to fix it. You got to work on it. And there's a ton of problems come along with that as well. But it's just like getting out of our own way. We know the things that we have to do. We just have to actually do them and put in the work. And, you know, it takes a lot. It takes a little bit of time to kind of switch away from that old way of thinking and living. But once you get on a path of routine, it becomes secondary, and you're so much better off in the long run when you do this. I'm telling you, like, across the board, you feel better. You have more energy. You know, you're more in touch with things. You start to get like more of an intuition about things. Like, you tap into kind of weird, but like incredible things that you didn't have before. It's pretty incredible.
Yes. The way that nature intended us to be. And, you know, if I can do it, coming from a background of like smoking a pack a day, drinking, like, you know, all this destruction, like, I totally dishonored my body. And if someone like me, who is radically on sort of like the opposite side of where I am today, if I can do it, anybody can do it. And that's like the biggest part of my message is if I can do it, you can do it. Anybody can do it. Anybody can change.
Love it. Just a couple of quick little questions and then we'll wrap things up. So we're in the midst of this pandemic that I mentioned before. What are your best tips for people to keep safe, to stop stressing as much about it? Because as we know, stress kills just as much as, or even more than any virus out there can do. Stress is incredibly harmful for the body. How do we lower our stress? How do we stay safe, maybe boost our immune system and just kind of get past this without worrying about it constantly? And then also, I know you have a bit of a psychic ability into you. What is your predictions for how this is going to be in the next couple of months? Like, what are your thoughts on where this is going and how long it might last?
Well, to start with the things you can do, meditation, breath work, fasting might not hurt some people. Getting comfortable with less is good, but really meditation for the stress, signaling to the body that, you know, if we've got a roof over our heads, like we're okay, we're protected from the elements, our basic survival isn't immediately being threatened in the moment, you know, meditate. Connect with the source within, because there's a place within us all that is untouched by anything that's happening around us. So that's the source of peace, even in the midst of chaos. And that's what they say about the true master, right? The true master is peace, even in the midst of chaos. And so urging people to go within, like right now, just go within. That's the best way to kind of like to get through this. I don't know what's going to happen in the next week or couple weeks or months, but I do know that humanity makes it through the crisis. That I do know because I can feel it. And so our question is, how long is it going to take us all to wake up and do our part? Because that is going to be a major contributing factor on how quickly this ascension process happens, is how quickly we wake up. We're players in the game. We all have skin in the game now.
I love it. Kristen, what is a last send-off takeaway message you'd like to leave the audience today? And then a place our listeners can check out your work, your shop, what you're up to, and anything else you want to mention?
I would say heal yourself. Heal yourself to heal the planet. That's the takeaway. And, you know, we've started an online meetup group that we're doing Zoom calls with. We do meet in person as well at the shop in Seekonk, Mass. Every Sunday morning, we get together. We have a speaker. We meditate together. And so if people just, you know, they can follow me on social media, on Facebook. They can go to my website, quantumhw.com, send me a message. Just connect through the internet and we'll make, you know, we'll get our shift together.
Cool. What's the website again? QuantumHW.com?
Yep, QuantumHW.com for quantum health and wellness.
Cool. And guys, if you're ever in the Mass area, I definitely recommend you stop by the shop. It's an incredible place. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the only place like it I've ever been into. It's really cool. There's so many different things in there. Kristen's always doing some incredible stuff. And I mentioned I've been there a few times as well and had nothing but incredible experiences. So I highly recommend checking that out at some point. Kristen, thank you again for coming on. I really do appreciate it. And take care and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was a blast.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I'd like you to do, and that's this. Subscribe to our podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast episodes and all of our world-class advice absolutely free. Subscribe now if you haven't already and become an Elite Man today. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an amazing review. We really do appreciate it.